God, you've got a need to this morning, you can cry out to Him. How many say, do not pass me by for the last time all over the building without the music? Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Without music. How many believe he's in the building? He's here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit flow. You've got a cry in the heart. He hears your cry. I feel led that we should do it one more time. One more last time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hear our humble cry. Hear our unspoken request this morning. Heal our undiagnosed diseases. We depend on you this morning, Lord Jesus. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe even before we get to the Bible, maybe you've got a need. I think the atmosphere is right. Just to submit your request, both spoken and unspoken. God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. God will never fail you. People may fail you, but God will never fail you. And this morning there is something that He wants to do in your life, and that is why there is such a sweet atmosphere in the building. And Brother Abraham says, when you feel that sweet atmosphere, you must know that He is here. There is no need that is unimportant for Him not to respond to. All needs can be realized this morning. I don't care how it may seem impossible, but my God is an unchanging God. My God is omnipotent. There is nothing that is beyond His power. Whatever is needed this morning, all things are possible. Believe us, all things are possible. I would not speak like this if I did not see Him doing something in my life. I'm not referring to what He did last year. I'm referring to what He did this very week. And He just humbled me to know that I serve a living God. He bypasses protocols. He bypasses the local authorities to make things happen. And I'm here to declare that our God is alive. And if all of us can be united in faith this morning, even before the preaching of the word, a miracle will happen for somebody in the building. But you've got to believe, have faith in God. The angels of God are in the building to minister to our needs. How many believe that God is here? How many believe He's going to do something special in their life? Heavenly Father, what a beautiful atmosphere to walk into this morning. And such a beautiful music, and as well the song that has just been sung. And I think Brother Philip managed to speak few comments around the song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. You are a gentle Savior. You deal with your children in a gentle manner. And Lord, you respond to their needs in a gentle manner. And Heavenly Father, many people in the building have got needs. It dawns on me as a pastor that we are living during a time where people are engaged in a fierce battle against the enemy. But Lord, my assurance to the people is that this is not our battle. It is the Lord's battle. We just need to look at our commander-in-chief being the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of the battle, he will emerge as a victor. And Heavenly Father, your children have got needs. Some are marital, some are financial, some are psychological, some are spiritual, some are material. Whatever needs that may be there, I know you will be able to respond to their heart's desire. Heavenly Father, right now, make an assurance to every heart in the building and say, I'm the Lord thy God, and I will do everything that you believe that I can do. And that is why you said, is there anything hard for the Lord? This morning we've got an answer to the David. There is absolutely nothing that is hard for the Lord. Heavenly Father, those that may be looking for jobs, our jobs, it does not come from the economy. It comes from the Heavenly Father. We've got a better economy than the South African economy. There is a heavenly economy that has never experienced a recession. And this morning, every man and woman in the building, allow them to tap into that economy, the economy of God. Our God says he will bankrupt the heavens before he can allow his way to fail, dear God. We've seen you many a times doing so many things for so many believers, dear God. And Lord, may this morning strengthen the faith of the believers that when they walk away from this place, they can say, through Christ, I can do everything. And Lord, I emphasize, we can do everything. Whatever may be there, if it is included in everything, we can do it through Christ. Lord, we will not be dismayed because there is a weight that we are depending on. We are depending on the power from above. I commit every soul, I commit myself and all the laity to you. May the Holy Spirit move in an unhindered manner. If there are those that need healing, heal them, dear Father. If there are those that are discouraged, may you encourage them, Father. If there are those that were about to give up in their corner, may you re-energize them and restore hope. And may you restore the joy of their salvation. My greatest desire as a minister this morning, through the preaching of the word, let there be no demon that can remain in the building. Let there be no demon that can remain in the building. Because why? Wherever the name of the Lord is declared, every demon must flee from that place. And at this point in time, there is a weapon that was given to humanity, which is a greater force than all the weapons around the world. That is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare healings this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare restorations this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare the supernatural in the lives of the children of the living God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we want God to move in a special way. Let there be testimonies to show the devil that we serve a living God. Whatever bottlenecks that are there, we declare that everything must be cleared in the name of Jesus Christ. If there is a soul that is lost, may it be found in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever your children need, let it be granted in the name of Jesus Christ. If there are situations that are overwhelming them, may they be resolved in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I've got confidence in you. I believe in you that you can do it, dear God. You are not a failure. You have never been a failure, dear God. And this morning you've got a covenant with these people. You told them your way. And you said if they can believe in your way, you shall do whatever it needs to be done. And at this point in time, we are calling heaven to come down and resolve situation and abort the plans of the enemy. Whatever may have been there, in the name of Jesus Christ, with boldness, we declare, devil, you are a failure. Get out of the way. Calvary is an answer to you this morning, and we set every man and woman free in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Can I go a bit higher? Hebrews 13, verse 8. Amen. The Moyos, you are welcome. Is the leave over? Chief, you've got a generous employer. 5 weeks leave. Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed your stay in Zimbabwe and traveling. God bless you richly. You are welcome back. Amen. Mr. Malaka, God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Shall we read it together? I believe that we believe this verse is still relevant. Amen. Tell the neighbor and say, Jesus is still the same. Yeah. Turn around to the other neighbor and say, same thing. Jesus is still the same. Do you believe that, folks?
Amen.
You just have to hear it from the witness next to you. How many has God done something special for them? Amen. And with the hands that have gone up, blessed are those hands that say, He has done something for me, even before He did it literally.
Amen.
Blessed are those hands. Amen. Yeah. Are you the kind of believer that celebrate before the miracle happens?
Amen.
In the midst of darkness, you say, My God is light. In the midst of the disease, you say, My God is a healer.
Amen.
You'll bear with me. I'm excited this morning.
Amen.
Because I don't speak about a historical God. I saw Him doing something special for me. And I say, Oh God, thank you. I'm glad that I'm your son.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Amen. We are going to be in one accord. Read in one accord. Say amen in one accord. Believe in one accord. When believers get in one accord, something is going to happen. There's 30% of people that did not join us. Let's give them an opportunity to brush off the devil and say, I'm going to read it with enthusiasm because I believe it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Our heaven hears that. And today?
And forevermore.
How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to read the same scripture that we read on Wednesday. Malachi 3, verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. If they can bring it up so that we all read it together. For I am the Lord.
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 Amen. Don't feel like I make you like your school kids when I say that. The reason I do that is so that you know, when you say something and you keep on saying, it reinforces your belief system. Amen. Some of us, the devil makes us to be have complex. I won't read it. No. Let him hear you out saying, For I am the Lord. Is God declaring that He is the Lord? He's got lordship over your life. For I am the Lord.
For I am the Lord.
I change not.
I change not.
Folks, the God that opened the Red Sea, He says He's still God and He changes not. Do you have a Red Sea in front of you?
Amen.
There is a God that can open the Red Sea. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know that as a wild olive tree, we've been crafted into the domestic olive tree, isn't it so?
Yes.
And by faith, we are the children of Abraham. We are part of the descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May you take your seats for a few minutes. Amen. I want to speak on the supernatural channel. The supernatural channel. Amen. How many believe that there are different kinds of channels? Hallelujah. There is witchcraft channel. Amen. The witchcraft channel is not the supernatural channel. Amen. Some are switching on to witchcraft. They think it's the supernatural. Hallelujah. There's many channels. This Brother Chetty spoke about the Hollywood channel. We can speak about many channels this morning, but I want to speak about the supernatural channel. Amen. So I hope that you'll be on the same frequency as I am this morning, so that God can do something special in your life. So many are happy that God says He is a God and He does not change. Amen. And how many were ever forced into circumstances where they said, God, if you don't intervene, it doesn't look like I'll come out of this situation alive? How many have ever been disparate? Very disparate. And you say, God, I need a miracle. I need you on the scene. And we've got those moments where you are awake at night, you wonder what is going to be next. But I want to say, during the darkest hour, then Jesus came along. Amen. He appears during the darkest hour. And the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Maybe just to switch off this channel of witchcraft, let's read Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19:31 reads in this manner, if it is found. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Amen. We've got people with familiar spirits, referring to sangomas. Amen. Yeah. And then you've got what we call fortune tellers. We've got what we call palm readers. There's normally a caravan parked next to where we are of a palm reader, where you go and show them how your hand is, and they tell you, well, how your marriage, your career. That's a bunch of nonsense. Amen. Believers need not to go there. Yes. Can I get an amen on that? Believers need not to go to the people of familiar spirits. The problem is that because their market is saturated, they've got a lot of competition. Now, some of the wizards, they've put a collar and are preaching on Sunday. A wizard behind the pulpit is still a wizard. Do you agree with me? But you must have a discernment to know that, yes, he's got the Bible, but this is still a wizard. And we are supposed to have nothing to do with that. Amen. While at it, for those that are traditionally inclined, we don't believe in ancestors. Ancestral spirits are demonic spirits. A believer does not have to partake in ancestral ceremonies, even when you are invited by fellow family members. You need to tell them that you are a believer, you are not going to participate in that. Are we together? Hope you agree with me. Amen. So, for me, and I'm going to say it, and you know it may make some of you uncomfortable, but you cannot worship a man who was once a failure, and he just happened to have died. And after 30 years, you say you worship the same man. No. Ancestors who were here, but they are not meant to. The Bible says, have nothing to do with the dead. Yes. And I repeat that, have nothing to do with the dead. Yes. Is what the Bible is saying. That's why Brother Branham cannot come and preach to you today. He's got nothing because he has been taken off the scene. Amen. If somebody say Brother Branham preached for him, he's hallucinating. Yes, we need to reject it even when it takes place within the religious realm. Are you here, folks?
Amen.
Understand what I'm talking about. And before I get there, if some people would say, even, and this is not confined to a specific race, it's across the race, where there are the certain mediums, they can say, we can make you contact your late father. And then they say they can bring him, and they talk to him, he talks to you. And hear me out, folks. These people sometimes, it looks so real, but yet it is still demonic. I was listening to SAFM the other time I was driving. They had this medium during the day, and this lady, people would phone in and speak, and the lady would tell them that, listen, who do you want to speak to? And the woman said, I want to speak to my late husband. And says, okay, fine, here's your late husband. Without the lady saying anything, your late husband say, you need not to be worried, you love flowers, that flower that you both planted, continue to water it. And this lady never told the medium about the flower. But because people are gullible, immediately they say, because this lady knows I've got a flower, it must be the truth. The devil knows you've got a flower. Why do you take the devil out of the equation? The devil knows where you slept last night. The devil knows your address. If he says those things, we say, devil, you have said the obvious. This does not move me. Hallelujah. What moves this genuine seat of God is when we say, let us travel hundreds of billions of years ago at the back part of the mind of God. And we see a halo coming out of him. That moves the supernatural seat. Are we together? I'm trying to differentiate between a witchcraft channel, a demonic channel, and a supernatural channel. Amen. Are you with me? While we are at it, maybe I had much better put it across. You cannot be a believer until you believe in the supernatural. Or you are not a believer until you believe in the supernatural. The believer comes from the unseen world and is in the seen world and is going back to the unseen world. And a chunk of our life is made up of the unseen world. As unseen world is a driving force, not only for believers, even the unbelievers have got the unseen world, which is demonic realm. Are we together? Now, Brother Branham says in this message, Revelation, Book of Symbols, paragraph 55, he says angelic beings associate together. Angelic beings associate together. And sometimes you've got to check your association, because the association normally affects your diet. It affects your perspective. How many have ever changed friends and from that time you never looked at the world in the same manner? Hallelujah, because it changes your perspective. Amen. Angelic beings associated together. I hope you get that. That just dropped right down free. Look, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, then you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. No wonder people can't believe in those things. They've never come in contact. They've got nothing in here to believe with. But when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart quickly, he becomes a twofold being, one of the earth to die and one of heaven to live. This he says in the Revelation Book of Symbols, paragraph 55. Are we together? I believe that the reason we have gathered in this manner that this morning is because we associate together and we believe in the supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not a testimony till it is incredible. It is not a testimony till it is a paradox. And when it becomes a paradox, it becomes nonsensical to the human eye, but it becomes sensible to the supernatural eye. Are we together? There are certain things that if you were to testify, you may turn around, people may say, you have lost your mind. Actually, there is a fine line between the supernatural and insanity. Hallelujah. When supernatural people speak, it sounds like they have lost their minds. Are we together? Have you got things that God has done for you that you deem if you were to tell other people, they would not believe you? Hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham says in the message of faith, I'm just trying to build my foundation, paragraph 94. He says, now Jesus said, these things I do, ye shall you also. These things that I do, shall you also. Why? Is the continuation of the same spirit that started in the ministry of Jesus. It has to continue in our time. Hallelujah. Brother Branham actually comes, he says, when he says, greater work shall he do, he says it does not mean a better work. It just means on a much larger scale. Because now it's no longer confined to one man, it's now confined to the body ministry. We together, we speak about spiritual multiplication. If Jesus was able to lay hands on somebody and they got healed, every believer in the building has got scriptural right to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall be healed. Did you hear me? Whatever Jesus did, you can do it. If you've got faith to do that. Are we together? Then he says, then is God's Son covenant true? It's his Son covenant true. Then what we've got, then what we got to be worried about? Jesus is here. His spirit is here. What happened just now? Brother said, I went into another world. It's an unseen world. We become so conscious of looking at one another like this, but there is unseen world. So as we are looking at one another this morning, the world is not only limited to that. There is an unseen world. As we are speaking right now, there are angels that are going up and down in the aisle. I thought you'll say amen to that if you believe it. There are angels that are going up and down. And Brother Brennan says they are more real than the person sitting next to you. And if you are Gehazi this morning, we are praying God to remove the veil from the young man so that he can see that greater are those that are with us than the ones that are with them. Are we together? Do you believe that there are angels this morning? And there are demons this morning. There are many, there are so many, there is the supernatural audience is much greater. Even in Brother Branham's meeting, demons would come, and when he is about to cast one demon, another demon somewhere is crying out for help, and they now team up together. It can happen in the service as well. But the beauty about it, wherever the true word of God is being preached, the true word of God condemns demons. They've got to flee away from the places. Are we together? And when you are gathered like this, we don't know who has been to where. We don't know who's busy with what. But the beauty about it, that's why at the opening of the service, we say, let the Holy Spirit come. The Holy Spirit comes to combat any spirit that may try to be an intruder in the service right now. And why do we do that? Because sometimes a spirit can jump from one person and jumps onto another person who happens to be innocent. And that's why we cannot overemphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit on the seat where you are sitting. Either it's a genuine spirit or it's a demonic spirit. And there is a spirit upon the person that is next to you. Either it's a genuine spirit or a demonic spirit. But the beauty about it, we have given this place that the Holy Spirit must have the sovereignty and it cannot share this place with other spirit. That's why at this point in time, any spirit that is not welcome, any spirit that is not in line with the word of God, under the authority of the word of God, I command that spirit to leave the building. Yes, we've got that authority. Hallelujah. Who's got more power, the authority, the angel in heaven or the angel behind the pulpit? Brother, we say the angel behind the pulpit. Are we together? This morning we are binding every spirit because we've got the authority to do that. I'm speaking about the supernatural. Your child may be having a demonic spirit that has anointed him or her, but this morning, under the authority of the word of God, we are coming against that spirit. It is not going to be there, and we declare that in the name of Jesus Christ. And you as a parent, you must say, I believe that. I believe the Holy Spirit can do that. Do you know how serious the supernatural world is? There is a collusion that is taking place as we are speaking right now. What you see is only 10% of what is unfolding in the supernatural world. Hallelujah. And sometimes when you come as a minister, when you preach, there, you know how many demons and spirits that you've got to come against. And Brother Branham, a lot of times he would say, he speaks something, he says, I picked up resentment. Did you hear that on the tape? Hallelujah. When you are a minister, you deal with a lot of spirits. Hallelujah. And that is why as a minister, you've got to set yourself aside for a service. Because even you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can walk away from the pulpit with the wrong spirit. When you pray for the sick, make sure that you've got the spirit. Because if you don't, that spirit will jump from the victim and come onto you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Are we together? So it's a serious business. Now he says, we become so conscious of looking at one another like this, but there is unseen world. It's greater than anything you can see. Here is Christ in this world, in this building here, are evil spirits and war. In the very building, there are evil spirits and war. And Christians anointed, and the angels of God encamped about them, trying to energize them with faith. There are angels of the Lord in the building right now, trying to energize Christians with faith. And here I'm standing here, just yielding myself, and the Holy Spirit's moving, and this is what we call heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. There are angels that are energizing you. And while I'm here yielding myself to the operation of the Holy Spirit, then if an angel energizes you and the Holy Spirit moves, then we migrate. We are now in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And that is where a real, genuine message is preached in that realm of heavenly places. Are we together? But it says, but remember, Satan's always skeptics at the sons of God. You know, he always does that. Someone with a skeptic idea, when they do that, he's just trying to interfere. But Christians always overcome. So once again, when I say you are energized by angels for faith, and you are now in heavenly places, and the Holy Spirit is moving, then the devil throws a skeptical idea and say, nothing, it's not much big deal. Because the devil knows that if you can be positioned right with the word of God, he stands no chance. Are you with me, believers? The devil knows that if a real believer finds their rightful position in relation to the word of God, when you walk out of this building, you are going to look at the same situation that gave you nervous breakdown. And you're going to say, devil, we are done about the situation. I'm giving you a notice. This thing, it must be resolved. Are we together? You know, a child of God, when they are positioned with the word of God, they know that they are meant to get something and they are not getting it, and they pick up that is the devil that prevents them from getting it. Have you picked up what we call a holy indignation? Yeah. Are we together? How many have ever experienced a holy anger? Are we together? You look at your child, she was coming out nicely, and as she was coming out nicely, you have been grooming the child. All of a sudden, you see a demonic spirit upon them. It has to fill you with holy anger. and say, devil, I cannot accommodate. We are looking for radical Christians. Hallelujah. We're not looking for softies, folks. We are looking for radical Christians. People that can come toe to toe with the devil and put him in his place. Are we together? That when he sees you, he's got to have a tail in between his legs. There are some believers that the devil takes no chances because they do not accommodate him. They've got a holy indignation. Hallelujah. Do I have such believers in the building? The believers that we spoke about on Wednesday, they will take no for an answer. Amen. They are determined. They've got gallant spirit. Yeah. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in the message, I was reading Faith, paragraph 94, if I've not mentioned it. And then in the message, it wasn't so from the beginning. Brother Branham says, we stand in the unseen world, looking at unseen things. Amen. We stand this morning, look in the unseen world, looking at the unseen things. Yet to us, we see them. Because our faith detects them and says, it's there. Are you sick this morning? I'm inviting you to come and stand with me in the unseen world and look at the things that are not seen. Your healing is not yet seen, but by faith you can detect that it is there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your blessing is there, it's not yet visible, but by faith it is there.
Amen.
Your victory looks unattainable, but when you come and stand in the unseen world and look at the unseen thing, then you see that your faith can be detected. What is the DNA of a believer? A DNA of a believer, before they go into a war zone and come in combat against the devil, already they celebrate about the victory. Already they are looking at how am I going to share the spoils of the battle. Because to them, the battle is already won.
Amen.
Are we together? Amen. A believer who's sick and who's on his deathbed, he's already planning that, goodness, when I come out of this hospital, I need to get that business going.
Amen.
And the medical team looks at him and says, but you are dead. You are about to die. He says, no. I was just there for a moment, but I'm coming out. I'm saying, have you got the ability to see beyond your current situation?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the devil would want to trap us into situations where it is gloomy. Folks, I've got a question for you. Who sustained you for so many years that you've been upon the face of the earth? How many years have you been around, and who sustained you? Who sustained you, folks? Hallelujah. Who sustained you? I'm glad you say it's God, not the president. I'm glad you say it's God, not the employer. I'm glad you say God, not the specialist. I'm glad you say God, not the pastor. And the same God say, I change not. If I sustained you as a toddler, I will sustain you as a family man. If I sustain you as a family man, I will sustain you as an old man. We are serving a God that will never give up on his children. I'm saying that with confidence this morning. We are serving a God that will never turn his back on his children. Are you here? Hallelujah. Is there the widow that Elijah went to when the economy had collapsed? Hallelujah. The economy had collapsed. But the servant of God, the woman received God's prophet. And when you receive a genuine gift of God, it becomes a golden era in your life. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of famine, the servant of God walked in and preached the gospel, and the woman accepted it. And the message said, your oil will never run dry. Yes, I'm going to say that. Some of you, your oil will never run dry. Because you have accepted Elijah of the end time. And the same Elijah that was sent then was now sent in the end time by the same God. And he says, I change not. Some of you are looking for a baby like a Shunammite woman. You are under the Elijah ministry. A baby is coming your way. It's not just a statement. I'm saying that because I believe that. And if you doubt that, come in into the world and see. And look at the things that cannot be seen by the natural eye. Are you here? The baby is already coming. You get things sorted out. The job is coming. You get your things sorted out. Whatever you need in the spiritual realm is already attained. Accept it by faith. Do you understand how privileged you are to be under the Elijah ministry? Our ministry has got the ability to shut heavens that it raineth not. And I'm saying to the Cape Town people, if you are a godly farmer, drought will never affect you. Oh yes, I know what I'm talking about. Drought will never affect a child of God. You can have a bumper harvest in the midst of drought. And I know you're already thinking scientific terms. How are you going to prove it? Oh, let me give you an example. Brother Brennan, I'm going to get somewhere. The electricity, he couldn't prove it. But he knew it was there. And when he got it, he found it. Later we called it electricity. Even in scientific, and I'm going to show you how Brother Brennan makes a parallel between the Christian channel and the supernatural channel. And he says, I'm afraid the church is failing, but the natural man with science seems to be getting more out of what he's doing than a believer. Why? Science every morning, they say, let us push boundaries. We were on the moon, but now we need to get to Mars. We were on Mars, now we need, they keep on pushing boundaries. But the church is stagnated. It has reached complacency. People come into church sick, they walk away sick. The church say it's fine. It's not fine. You cannot come into the church of the living God where the presence of the Holy Spirit is and walk away still sick. I refuse that. But the church is accustomed to that. That it is, yes, it's natural. It will happen. Guys, God that opened the eyes is still God. Amen. He still can heal the blind. Amen. Hallelujah. The problem, Brother Brown said, the church has abandoned its mission. It's now building hospitals. Where would a church build a hospital? Where would a pastor have an ambition to build a private hospital? He's the one that must shut down the hospital. But now he wants to build the hospital to cater to who? The Bible says, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee of all thy diseases. Did you see how the church has lost focus on the program of God? Because of monetary gain. Because why? The pastor picked up maybe that all of them are on medical aid. The money is going elsewhere. If we've got 20,000 and all of them come to our hospital, now the money is circulating within the religious cycle. Don't get me wrong. I don't say it's wrong to have a medical aid. Some people can become fanatical about these things. Amen. If you are able to have. Amen. I know a brother that just canceled his life policies, funeral policies, and said the rapture is coming. You're not it's not being a believer. You're insane. That's a crazy idea. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Every man must have a life cover. Whether you are anointed from the head to the toe, you must have a life cover. I'll take many turns, sharp turns. You'll bear with me. Because some people became fanatical about these things. And the next thing we bury you, your family suffers for the next 30 years. Because you were too anointed to plan. Come on. Are we together? And this does not go only for South Africans. Even brothers that are in diaspora, you need to sort out your affairs and put them in order. For the sake of your family. A good man leaves a good inheritance for his family. Isn't that the scripture, what it's saying? If you can't do much, if you cannot leave them a big business or whatever, leave them a life cover. Amen. And it is doable. You just reduce your trips to McDonald's and KFC. and put around 200 rands and contribute to an insurance company to take care of your family. Brother Branham was a responsible prophet. He left his family intact. Isn't so? I know amen will not come, but I need men to say amen to that. If you say I'm carnal, goodness, I'm fine like that. Amen. But you've got to be responsible. Amen. I feel like I need to leave it, but I need to come back now. If you've got a daughter, 10 years, and you are very spiritual, and say, me, I don't need funeral cover, life cover. I only rely on God. But God is looking at you and say, I gave you your mind as well to think.
Amen.
And you die. And your children were coming to church 10 years. And after a while, there's no more money to provide in the family. Your wife start going, knocking on companies, looking for a job. And men that are anointed with the spirit of serpent, they say, before we give you a job, here's a job, an offer. 30,000 a month. After deduction, we walk away with 25,000. But we need to sleep with you before we give you the job. Is that where you want to live your family as a Christian man? You leave the family vulnerable to vultures. And your children grow up and they look at the what you have believed in, how dedicated you were. They say, but if this thing never made that to be responsible, look where we are. They started resenting the church. And they start resenting the pastor. Say, the pastor never told my dad the truth. Not long, your children are taken by sugar daddies. Great men take care of their families even from the grave. Amen. After clipping, I know you'll do the right thing.
Amen.
Amen. I'll visit that room many a times. Now, in the message, the second handed rope, Brother Branham says, the church that doesn't believe in the supernatural will finally die. And God will leave that church. Did you hear, folks?
Amen.
The church that does not believe, and when we say the supernatural, we are referring to something that is above the natural realm, that is above the natural senses, something that cannot be explained. Are we together? Because why? If the church does not believe in the supernatural, how do I begin to preach to that church that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? That is a supernatural act from the very beginning. And if you don't believe that, you end up believing in the Big Bang. Are we together? If you cannot believe when I say Joshua stopped the sun, and you say, amen, Joshua was our brother, it is doable. How are you going to get somewhere with God? If I tell you that God was able to give a woman who was old in her senior years and gave her a son, and that woman happens to be Sarah. If you don't believe that, where are you going to get with God? God is looking for people that can believe in the paradox. Things that are incredible but yet are true. When you hear it, you say, it cannot be done. But something tells you that it is true. And you believe it anyhow. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. And say, God will finally leave that church. Brother Branham says in the message, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, paragraph 7. He says, I was just thinking a few moments ago upon the subject of signs. And I just thinking of how that science, how they are taking the natural man and how he has gone into the research from the fall of the natural and what he has done. And how little the spiritual man has progressed in the kingdom of God. He's the prophet.
Amen.
And I was thinking that the natural man went out into the unseen of his eye and pulled an atom down out of the sky and split that atom into two that destroys human life. And if the natural man that knows nothing of God and cannot know nothing of God except he be converted, then his soul becomes alive with the supernatural. If he could do that in the natural realm, what ought the church of God to be doing? Do you get it, folks? My. Friends, the church is so far behind. Let's pray, my God, that God will move his church up. The natural man with the natural resource is getting greater results than people that call themselves Christians. Do you get what you say?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you tell the natural man and say, listen, we're going to go, they just advertised a trip that whoever would want to go on a honeymoon on the moon or Mars, you are available to do the reservations. The natural man has done that. But the spiritual man must even do greater than that. If the natural man gets to the Mars, the natural man must say, I will go past the Mars. Where are you going? Into the heavenly sphere. Hallelujah. Why is the scientific man playing around in the unseen world? He's looking at creatures that we have never seen before. But you are sitting here. If we say to you, the angels are sitting next to you, you doubt. But the natural man, if he was sitting there, and I begin to say to him, right as where we are, rugby is playing in the building. There is a man running in the building and he says, no, I know it can be done. All I've got to do is to get an antenna, connect it somewhere, and once I've connected it there, I know it's going to be done. I can see it on the screen. Are we together?
Yes.
But it means that it's already there. It just needs an instrument to pick it up and transmit it on the screen. I say God is in the building.
Yes.
But what gadget am I looking for him to be captured and be transmitted in your life? Faith. Angels are in the building. But what gadget do you need to capture that? Faith. I'm saying your healing is in the building. What gadget do you need? You need faith to capture that and transmit that. I see whatever you need this morning is in the building. But it needs you to capture it and transmit it back into your life. Are we together? The natural man, maybe I'll continue here. Brothers, I don't know whether you drop the speaker here or what. Take the rod and gather the people. Brother Bim says, now, I don't expect everybody to be healed.
All right.
That's the prophet. There's exceptions. Many people are great lovers of God, raised up under the church. They believe their church. That's right. They believe God. But as far as the supernatural being operating in a human being today, that's beyond anything they could swallow. Some people are fine to come to church. They are fine to love God. They are fine to sing about God. They are fine just to read about him. But to see that God coming and operating, that is too big thing for them to swallow.
Yeah.
Are we together?
Amen.
That's why he says, I don't expect everybody to be healed. Even this morning, we don't expect everybody to be healed. But the healing is for whosoever believeth.
Amen.
The miracle is for whosoever believeth. Are we together?
Yes.
He continues in the message, the junction of time. Paragraph 52. He says, the unreasonable thinking of men can never comprehend the miraculous. You have to come in contact with the omnipotency. And then when you do that, you are in contact with the supernatural. Your life change. Your thinking change. Your mind change. You are made different. Your sickness vanish. God's great power moves in. What happens when you come in contact with the supernatural? Your life does change. You can never come in contact with the supernatural and your life remains the same. Are you together? Something has got to change. And folks, I believe that this message is God in our time. And whoever comes in contact with the message, there's got to be a change in their life. Or they have not come in contact with the omnipotency. Do you allow me to preach, folks? You cannot live in a certain way during the week and you come and hear the message and come in contact with the message and goes back to live how you have lived throughout the week. It tells me you have not come in contact with the omnipotency. Because when you come in contact with the omnipotency, it changes you. It changes even your appetite. Sometimes after you've come in contact with the omnipotence, you even don't go back to the same friends anymore. Yes. Hallelujah. A believer does not have a friend's problem. Because why? The supernatural, the people that believe in the supernatural associate together. Yes. How can two walk together unless they agree? Hallelujah. You want to talk to somebody about the supernatural and they need to reinforce what you believe about in the supernatural. Are we together? Amen. When you come in contact with the omnipotency, then what you do that? You are in contact with the supernatural. And I'm saying, does your life depend on the supernatural or does it depend on the natural? If your life depends on the natural, you're going to be a frustrated fella. There are so many bottlenecks, there are so many obstacles, there are so many things that are going to go haywire in your life. But when you believe in the supernatural, I'm telling you, you are on the right track. Amen. Because why? I'm just giving an example. If you are working and they come with, every employer loves this section, when they were about to announce retrenchment. Section what? Section what? 189. That humbles me. Section 189, when they bring you into the office and give you a letter that we are downsizing. Right there when they've given you the letter, there are many thoughts that are going. The devil immediately when they give you that letter, you already picture your children hungry. You already picture yourself homeless. You already picture yourself somebody getting sick, no medical aid, they are dying. There's a flood of thoughts that the devil brings your way. If you just remain in that natural realm, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. Yeah. Are we together? Yeah. But if you migrate and switch to the supernatural, you remember that, goodness, there was a time when I was a tiny cell. In my father's loins. And my father released me, and I took a very hostile passage. And I came on the other side and I became alive. And my mother raised me. And I don't know how she raised me, but she raised me anyway. Until I grew up and I became a man. Who is that intelligence that took care of me before I knew how to take care of myself? And while you are sitting there, then something tells you the birds in the air, they never go hungry. Amen. Then you begin to realize, there is a Jehovah Jireh. Amen. There is a God that can move the natural elements. Amen. To bring his children to an expected end. Amen. Then you begin not to have fear. Then you develop faith and say, no, even this job, I got it from God. If God takes it away, it is so good to be with the Lord. But however, God will provide another one. Amen. God will never leave his children disparate. Amen. I will repeat that in the building. God will never leave his children disparate. Amen. If he closes one door, he's got a better door somewhere. Amen. You just don't keep on looking at the door that is closed. Move on. Amen. Are you here, man? Amen. Some of you are unemployed. Did you die? Did you die because of unemployment? No, unemployment never killed anyone. But the worry of it will kill you with a heart attack. I'm saying God owns better things than the South African economy. Even better than the world economy. I know you men are not coming because why? You are now thinking of the first statistics. Hallelujah. God is not bound by statistics. This God migrated 2 million people without the logistic company. 2 million people. Not only them, even their cattle, even their animals. He migrated them. And he put a climate control and said, okay, at night it will be cold. I need a pillar of fire by night to warm my people. And during the day, if the sun will scorch them, I need the cloud to become a shadow. Our God is a provider. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. Our God is leadership. Oh, there was not even a multi-server, Brother Dipali. People's shoes never got worn out. The Holy Spirit was there to make, I don't know, if maybe your shoe happened to something, the pillar of fire will come and fix it. I'm speaking about the supernatural now. The church people are looking at me, staring at me. But the supernatural people, they say, we know that our God is capable of that. No. No pediatrician, sister. 2 million. If you try to migrate 2 million people, some will die of diseases. But 2 million people, God said, I'm going to keep them 40 years just to show my power in the wilderness. If they come across the spot where there is no water, I don't need Joburg water. I need the water from the rock. Hallelujah. If they get hungry, I don't need a feeding scheme. There is a whole oven in heaven that bakes manna. Our God is a spiritual chef. How do I know? He once cooked for Elijah and made the ravens to deliver the lunch of Elijah. I mean, can you trust the raven with meat? But in the economy of God, he changed the nature of the raven and he brought it there. And when Elijah ate that, he never said, no, but it's too salty. No, our chef can balance the ingredients. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. He says, I change not. Are you with me? I hope you are with me. And I hope it energizes your faith. And folks, you can never exercise your faith until you are ushered into terrains that are known, terrains that are uncertain. It is in a moment where things are not certain, where faith is required. Faith is not for the familiar environment. Is when you have been unplugged ceremonially in an environment that you are accustomed to and got plugged into some environment that you have never been to. And you look and say, I don't know where the way will lead, but let me consult with the Almighty God. He will lead me through. Amen. I will follow wherever he leads me, I will follow. Amen. And message men, hear me out and hear me very well. This God that we serve, the devil is out to attack the family, the role of a man in the family. And there is no better way to bruise a man's ego than to make him lose the job. When a man gets more joy from his job, his identity gets it from his job, than he gets it from your marriage. No, you will not say amen. But I'm just stating the obvious. You want the scripture? Eve did not come before the job. Adam was employed first. And after the man was feeling that he is in charge, he is able to move the mountain from this side to that side. He is able to walk on the water. Then he said, now it's time to have a wife. A man that is not in control of his circumstances cannot be a better husband. Do you hear me, brother? But one thing the devil knows, if I come and disorientate the man from his environment, marriage is secondary. Marriage will collapse. It's inevitable. No matter how holy the sister is, if a man is unemployed and is bringing nothing at home, it creates a strain in the family. I said it. Then the devil in the end time, he wants to attack the job because he knows that is where a man derives his joy. When he comes and say, today I just sealed a $500,000 deal. And if, I mean, such men, even their wives, they really celebrate them. My husband is very clever. Then he gets re-energized. But if that business collapses, even the men cannot get out of bed in the morning. Everything is gloomy. So the devil in the end time, the whole economic activities, the most intention is to target an employed message believer who is a provider.
Amen.
He knows that if he can disorientate you there, I can even disorientate you spiritually. I can disorientate your family. But it's only when you begin to confine your thoughts to the environment in which you find yourself in, then you begin to say, I give up. Let me put it this way. And I know I'm going to speak in simplistic terms. If God wants you, if you've got a job, Sky Rider, he doesn't want you there. He thinks that you can have a business where you can even employ other 10 brothers that do not have means of provision. What is he going to do? He's going to step aside. He's going to create chaos in your job. There's never been a time where God moved from a person from a place to a place without creating the discomfort from the initial place that the person was in.
Amen.
You just see things not working out. God has stepped out. He wants to move you somewhere. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God has got something better for you, when he knew that it's time for them to leave Egypt, he created a hostile environment. He raised Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And in your environment, there are times when he will raise Pharaoh who does not know Joseph. But the intention is not because God is giving upon you. The intention is that God wants to move you something better. All we've got to do is say, I will trust him. I will trust in his leadership. I'll trust in his guide. Wherever he leads me, I will follow.
Amen.
And sometimes because you have worked for Eskom for many years until you think Eskom is God and say our company does not retrain. He just creates chaos until Eskom runs out of money. Just to show you that he is bigger than Eskom.
Yeah.
Are you here, folks?
Yeah.
And God is jealous. Anything that we do not attribute glory or we attribute glory to it more than to him, he comes to create problems there. There's only one person that must take glory for anything is the Lord Jesus Christ. He must take glory for our marriages. He must take glory for our job. He must take glory for our health. Whatever we do, he must take glory.
Amen.
Are we together? Brother Branham says, in the message, what does thou hear? Paragraph 52. All prophets were declared insane. Jesus Christ was declared insane. Every one of the apostles was declared insane by the public because their ministry was so supernatural till the people thought they were out of their minds. And I'm giving an example of the father whose son had taken ill and was in the hospital. And they had this machine that would measure the blood pressure or what. You remember that machine that has got a, if it's straight line, you know it's gone. But if it has the ups and downs, you know that the person is still alive. I don't know why they call that instrument. So when they were there, Brother Branham slipped into that room and prayed for the son and told the father and say, your son is going to get well. Then Brother Branham left. Then the father and the mother took the prophet's word and said, our son is going to be well. But the instrument, when they looked at the instrument, the temperature, Brother Branham would say, the temperature, was it dropping? It was dropping. And it says, maybe say, you do not understand. The machine is indicating that the temperature is dropping. Your son is dying.
In an hour's time, he'll be gone. And the father kept on saying, glory to God, my son is going to be alive. He said, maybe you are mistaken. And the nurse tried to explain as best as she can to the man. And the man said, listen, daughter, you were trained. You had academic qualifications to read the readings of this machine. But however, I am not reading that. There is a man of God that told me, my son is coming out of here. So you are looking at the instrument. I'm not looking at the instrument. I'm looking at the promise of God. And in no time, the son came out. And this morning, I'm asking you, what are you looking at? Some are looking at stats. Some are looking at the doctor's report. But there is a better report. By his stripes, you were healed. And that report can supersede the doctor's report. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me continue here. God's provided way of healing. Brother Bram says in the message, in paragraph 29, now when you receive the inspiration that Jesus Christ died for your sickness, is that very hour that your healing has come. When you receive from heaven that Jesus died for your sins and you have accepted it, you don't need any prayer for you then. Did you hear that, folks? You have already accepted it, it's settled. Now, we can preach the word, explain the word, but you have to receive the word. That's what sets it on fire, brother. When you receive it, the revelation, something slips out of the unseen world yonder, comes rolling down through a mystical channel somewhere into your soul that says, now I see it. Your eyes brighten up. Your lips that hang down straighten up and smile comes back. Every muscle in your body seems to rejoice. Something is going to happen. You don't need to be in a prayer line then. You've got it then. That's where if everybody in this building at this time would get in that kind of an attitude, every person would be perfectly healed. Now, how do we get people that way? Some can receive it, some cannot receive it. But those who receive it, they look at it, accept it, believe it, and it's done. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to work towards closing. The message, Revelation, Book of Symbols. Brother Branham said, paragraph 103, you mark my ways. If you trust me and wish by honor, you say it, and by love, you trust me to be God's seer, God's prophet. Remember, this is on the books of heaven. He is present. Wouldn't you like to live where you are conscious that the unseen world is right with you all the time? To realize when you walk out here and get in your car, angels take their positions by the side of you. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got a guard of honor, a heavenly guard of honor. And have you ever seen a president go into the car? They don't open for themselves, they open for them. If it's raining, there is a guy with an umbrella there, and there is a guard of honor. The president is always protected. If he goes to the restroom, there is a guard there next to the restroom, wherever he goes. That's exactly how you are as a child of God. Wherever you go, the angels of God are encamped around you. If you go for a job interview, an angel is already there. Amen. Hallelujah. If you, whatever you do, the angel of God goes before you. The people of God, angels always forerun them. Amen. Rebecca, before she got to the well, the angel was at the well. Amen. Moses, before he got to Pharaoh, the angel was at Pharaoh. Brother Branham, in every meeting, the angel was there. And if it happened to all the servants of God, it will happen to you. Before you get anywhere, the angel is already there to sort out your matters. Are you not happy about that? Are you not rejoicing about that? That the angels of the Lord are encamped around those who fear his name.
And I can take it further. The angel can even write an exam for you. But I don't say, don't read, read. The angel will take care of his part. But the angel will write an exam for you. That's exactly what I said and understood what I said. The brother wanted to work for another company, didn't know how to operate a computer. All of a sudden, he was in a taxi. The taxi made him to be late. And when he was late, when he got there, the assessor said, listen, people have already done assessment. I don't think, let me see what I can do. And then she went there. The brother did not know how to operate a computer. And the assessment was about the computer. But when the brother was in the taxi, he was sweating. But God delayed the taxi and said, if you get there early, you're going to be assessed on things that you don't know. God will delay you to protect you. Why are you in a hurry? Wait upon the Lord. And when you got there, the assessor came and said, listen, although we have done the first assessment, we think you should just continue. What can we do because you were late? And they invited them other assessments, that's where he must start. The one where he did not master, God made him to bypass it. By the time he was done, they realized it's too good. They neglected and said, but if you don't know a computer, we'll put you through a computer school. And the brother ended up working for that company. But who provided the job? Who delayed the taxi? Who bypassed the assessment? Our God is able. I say our God is able. Even this morning. Amen. But us, just a little hiccup in that taxi when I delay. God doesn't love me. But I'm praying. Wait upon the Lord. Don't try to preempt things. I knew something is not going to go right. It is what you say in a moment of delays that determines how God will respond to you. Some curse him, some lose confidence, but others say, if it was not meant to be, it was not meant to be. But our God is still in charge of the situation, and God will do the miraculous. Want me to give you another testimony? A brother was promised a job. And they had already agreed that the job is his. However, somebody with a better bribe came. Bribed the recruiter. The recruiter changed the paperwork and hired another man who bribed him. And they told the brother that that job is no longer there. Then the recruiter and the briber worked together. But the recruiter, from that time, they stayed in the same area with the brother. Every time he saw the brother, he would hide. Every time he saw him, he would run away. And later, after some time, the briber lost the job. And the recruiter went to the brother's house and said, listen, ever since I told you that that job is not yours, even after I made a promise that it was yours, I never rested. It has been a year. Every time I see you, you don't see me, but I run away. I hide. I never had peace. Now, I don't want any person. I'm here to repent, and I want you at that job. Amen. That's our God. That's our God. He can make a person to be put everything in his power, in his charge. Say, God, you are in charge. Are you here, folks? I don't say don't go to school, but sometimes God will make you get a job that does not require education. And if it is really needing education, they will pay for your education. Amen. I see young men are not saying amen.
Amen.
That worries me. Amen. You realize when you walk out there and get in your car, angels take their positions by the side. When you are sleeping at night, angels come and take positions where you sleep. There's a brother who, amen, another witch confronted him and said, but we are surprised. Yes, there are witches, folks. Don't look me in a funny way. The Bible says witches will never enter heaven. Amen. So now this witch came and confronted the brother and said, But what I mean, why don't you sleep? See, what do you mean? He says, no, but around 2 o'clock, you're always awake. What are you doing at your gate at 2 o'clock? And that's the way the brother says, no, I've never been at my gate at 2 o'clock. Then later, the brothers that were talking, he realized that, no, this means she means business. She was adamant, I saw you. And the brother later realized that something dropped in his heart and said, he did not see your natural body. He saw your spiritual body.
Amen.
Why? When we are sleeping, our spiritual bodies are not sleeping. Our God is not sleeping. God can make us to have a protection even when we are sleeping. That's why don't trust in a sangoma. The sangoma dies. One day on your way to consult him, you will find that they are busy with his funeral. And you're going to get shell-shocked. Don't trust in a dying man. Trust in an undying God. He will send the angels to protect you wherever you go. The angels are here, are going to go back to you at your places of home. Make sure that you take care of the angel. Don't listen to anything that may offend the angel. Brother Bram said, there isn't angels, don't come to our houses. We don't talk about him anymore. Let's talk about him. Angels will come. Our house will be a supernatural environment. Brother Branham in his house, Becky was sleeping on the edge of the bed as she was about to fall. The angel said, brother, run to the room. Your baby is about to fall off the bed. And when he got there, he was able to rescue Becky. If the angel is interested, even how far the baby is sleeping on the bed, he is interested in our daily affairs. And I say, wherever we go, let's accommodate the presence of the angel. Let's talk about it. Let's live right. On those ways, God bless you richly. My last question. What would you do if you knew that God would not allow you to face? What would you do if you knew God would not allow you to faith? I'll repeat. What would you do if you knew that God would not allow you to faith? What would you do if you knew that the prophet of God said, you are a covenant person and you cannot faith? What would you do if you knew that through Christ you can do everything?
Amen.
What would you do if you knew that greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world?
Amen.
What would you do if you knew that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Have faith in God.
Amen.
As we stand to our feet.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
How many believe there is power?
There is power in the name of Jesus.
I believe that. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. We are going to have a prayer. Brother Chetty can come and lead us in prayer. Hum it for the last time. If you have a need, you can raise your hands and be remembered in prayer.
Prophet, the same God in our midst, amen. Let's just hum it one more time, amen, and just believe with all our hearts, amen. Believe with everything that we have, amen. Let's throw away our burdens, amen. Let's throw away all the pain, amen. Let's throw away all the unbelief this morning, amen. While the great Jehovah is in our midst, amen.
Thank you.
Ready to be at your service, amen. Ready to step in, amen. Ready to take control of the situation that was uncontrollable, amen. Hallelujah. If we have a need in our hearts, we could just raise up our hands, amen. Hallelujah. And we could just believe him, amen. As only the choir team, amen, just hums it softly, amen. Let the believers just raise up their hands, amen, as we just enter into prayer, amen, for your particular situation, amen. If you find and Danny, that's okay, amen. Remember the needs in the church this morning, amen. Many are unemployed, amen, this morning, and many are getting retrenched this morning, amen. And many families are broken, amen. Many situations, amen, with the family members are in a devastation this morning, amen. But we have a message this morning, amen. Let's just look up to him, amen. Hallelujah. As you just hum it more softly this morning, amen, as we would just enter into prayer. Hallelujah. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we mortals, Father, we come from God, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, we didn't elect ourselves, Father. We didn't call ourselves to this message, Father, dear Lord Jesus. Each and every one of us, God, has a particular testimony, dear God. How the Holy Spirit, Lord, the cooing of that dove, dear Lord, a snow white dove, dear God. It came to sort us out and find us out, Lord. Some were in, Lord, the taverns, Father. Some were, dear Lord, in brothels, Father. Some were in perverted relationships, dear God. But Lord, we never called ourselves out, dear Lord, this morning, Father. But oh God, there was a message, Father. And this message was God, dear Lord Jesus. And this message came and pulled us out, Father. And brought us, dear Lord, to where we are, Lord, in this specific, particular hour and age and day, Lord, and second, Father. And there we find ourselves, Lord, in the church, Father. Lord, and there we sometimes, Lord, just get caught up and overwhelmed, dear Lord, by the things of this world and this situation, Father. But, oh God, Lord, you never left us, nor you forsook us, Father, Lord, this morning, Father. And you see the hands of your believers, Father. You see the needs this morning, Lord. You see the desperate cry of your children, Lord. You see the anguish, Father. You see the painful desire within the hearts of your children, Father. And we're all standing in the need of prayer this morning, Father. We have sung songs, Father. We have heard the faith of God has come this morning, Lord. And we could hear you crying out, Lord, from your minister this morning, Father. Rise up, dear Lord, because you only could do as much as our faith required, dear Lord Jesus. And I'm praying this morning, Father, as we see the enemy, Lord, just moving in with clouds of unbelief, church. Let's break the chain of unbelief this morning, amen. Let the message penetrate through all that unbelief this morning, dear Lord Jesus. And break the chains, dear Lord Jesus, Father, of unbelief. May Lord Jesus let the enemy know, amen, that we are the children of God. Let the enemy know, amen, that there's a celebrity from heaven, the bride of Jesus Christ. Let the enemy know, amen, that the angels are ushering the bride of Jesus Christ this morning, amen. That there's more that's with us than them that's against us, amen. Greater is he that's in us, amen. That Holy Spirit, Father, we remember David, Father, as he cried out, dear Lord Jesus, as a deer panted for the water brook, Lord, so my soul panted for a living God, Father.
Hallelujah.
He wanted to be born again,
you,
Father. He wanted to overcome Delilah, Lord. But he couldn't, dear Lord Jesus, because he couldn't get born again, Father. But Lord, they cried out, Father, and they wanted to be in the hour, Lord, that we are in this hour, Father, where we could have, Father, a born again experience, Father. Where not only, Lord, you could pardon our sins, Father, but Lord, you could change our nature,
yes,
dear Lord Jesus, and bring us to the literal life, the blood life of Jesus Christ, Father God. The world's looking for Jesus Christ, Father God, and we fail, Lord Jesus, each and every one of us, dear Lord Jesus. And that is why, dear God, we're crying out with anguish this morning, Father, saying we want the life of Jesus Christ, Father. God, you said we receive not because we believe not, dear
yes.
Lord Jesus. But this morning, Father, there's a bunch of believers, Father, that has come surrendered, dear Lord. My heart's also surrendered, dear Lord Jesus. Help each and every one of us, dear God, to be the Christian that this message wants us to be, dear Lord Jesus. If we have failed, dear Lord Jesus, in our walk, in our way, our attitudes towards husband, towards wife, Father, our haphazardness towards our prayer life, dear Lord Jesus, our lackadaisical way and approach towards this message, Father God. And dear Lord Jesus, I know you're calling us to a higher calling, Father. The hour is late, dear Lord Jesus. Please help us, dear God. We surrender, dear Lord Jesus. Your message has convicted us, dear Lord Jesus. And we surrender, dear Lord, everything that we have, dear God. As your servant preached, Father, on Wednesday, dear Lord, how, Lord, when a person's getting drowned, Father, how when somebody wants to save them and the lifeguard had said that they cannot even jump to save the person because this person becomes so, restless and so paranoid, Father, and they just keeps trying to do it on their own, Father. But the lifesaver had said, if the person relax, then I can go and save him, Father.
Yes.
And that's how we've been, Father, trying to do things on our own, Lord, trying to work out the solution, Father. But you said, Lord, that we should rest, Father. Grieve not, and we have grieved the Holy Ghost, Father. And you said, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed unto your day of redemption, Father. Help us to be at rest, Father. And the only time we can be at rest is when we believe your word that has been spoken this morning and take the entirety of this message and live it and walk in it, Father.
Yes.
And then all is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and then it's peace, Father, in our lives this morning, Father. Help us, Lord, we are in desperate need, dear God. Lord, we see the enemy, Lord, overtaking, Lord, the families, Father. Lord, it's recognized, Father. We see husbands falling apart, dear Lord Jesus. We see, Lord, mothers and children and just going, Lord, and getting caught up, Father, in the perversion of this world, in its subtlety, Father. But I know you're striking down this morning, Father, and showing us that there is a channel, Lord, just like our Adam's channel of faith was, Lord, overcome by the cares of this world, Father, when he sinned and he listened to the voice of the enemy, Father. But this morning, Lord, you have sent a message, Lord, to break through that channel, Lord, a dynamite, Lord, a dynamic, Lord, message, Father, to blow every channel of unbelief away, dear God, that channel can be so freely, Lord Jesus, that, oh God, that you even said, dear Lord, a child of God with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's in the same condition as Adam was before the fall, dear Lord, that there'll be a lip to your affair this morning, dear Lord Jesus, that you'll break through all that unbelief, dear Lord Jesus, and speak unto your children and let them know all is well, my child. Oh God, help us, Lord, this morning. Help your people this morning, dear Lord Jesus. Help your servant this morning, dear Lord Jesus. Thou knowest the burdens upon his heart, Father, that he cannot even share with anyone, dear Lord. Yes. It is virtually impossible, Father, for us to feel his burdens, Father God. There's no one that he could speak to, Father God, as he holds it in his heart, Father God. Lord, but as a true servant of God, Father, Lord, undertake and strengthen him in this hour, dear Lord. Strengthen the church in this hour, Father. You see the needs of this church, Father. You see the burdens. You see the requirements, dear Lord. The financial needs, the spiritual needs, Father. Oh, God, but it's impossible for us, dear Lord. But, Lord, it is so possible for you because you believe in the impossible, Father. Break through, dear Lord Jesus, and supply our needs, dear Father. We are needy children, dear God. We place it in thy hands, Lord. We thank you wonderfully, Lord, again for the wonderful service. We thank you for the angels of God that even came so early, Lord, this morning when we stepped in, Father. We knew, Lord, that the angels of God are in one accord, Father. Lord, and we just appreciate you, Lord, even through the service, dear Lord, and thank you, God, for a wonderful day, dear Lord. We just pray that you would help each and every soldier of God, Father.
Let it be so.
Lord, to have a Joshua faith, Lord. Knowing that Joshua was the aggressor, Father. Joshua was the one that went into the territory, Father, and took what the enemy has stolen, Father. And may we have that same, Lord, attitude, Father. The right mental attitude, Father. That we may just hold on, dear God, in this hour, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just commit all things unto you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We are depending on power from above. Have a blessed week. May God undertake for you. And the angels of the Lord, may they encamp around you wherever you go. And may God fight your battle, but have faith in God, no matter what. Amen. We are depending on power from above till we meet. God bless you, Rich. Next week, the trustees are finalizing the building plan. There was just a delay, but next week they will be able to present an expansion plan so that everybody is on board and know what the timelines, the expectations, but pray about it. So next week it is going to be presented to the church. May God richly bless you. Pray for them as they are busy with that project. Amen. God bless you richly. Can go ahead.
Here we stand.
Thank you.